Well, legislative sessions always get contentious, but even when people disagree, there's no reason that it has to get wildly out of control with hyperbole. There was a bill before our state legislature a couple of days ago, just yesterday, really, and some of the rhetoric that emerged in the wake of this bill is pretty disappointing. So let me walk you through this. State Representative Andrew Barkas, a Republican from the Olympia area, he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Representative, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dory. It's great to talk to you once again. Thank you for having me on today.
You bet. Okay, so tell me what House Bill 1453 is all about.
Well, Dory, 1453 was the bill put together by the majority this year to get at what we're calling eviction reform. And it was one of many bills that were proposed and offered to help with the housing crisis that is going on in our state. And it basically completely alters the landlord-tenant law by adding provisions to the pay or vacate notice. And many other things in the context of the landlord-tenant law.
Okay, and so eviction reform, it just puts some rather onerous restrictions on the property owners if they want to get rid of somebody. Is that what I'm hearing here?
It does. And what's happening is I guess the best way to put it is this. We looked at this last during the interim, Dory, and knew that eviction reform is going to be a big issue. And so I brought together the stakeholders, the landlords, and the tenant groups, and asked them what we needed to do. My background, I've been in property management, been a landlord for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we put together some really good policy, very proactive to get at this issue. And we started with the notice and everything else. It was, I guess, for better words, it was hijacked along the way in the quote-unquote stakeholder meetings driven by the tenant advocacy groups coming out of Seattle. Washington CAN is a big one, Community Action Network.
Yeah.
And it went from being something that worked both for the tenants and landlords to something that was absolutely tenant biased.
Give me an example of
really going to be in a tough position.
Okay, give me an example of one or two things that you believe made this horrible bill for the landlord, for the property
owners. Well, number one is the time. We thought that by giving a little more time for people to remedy before they faced the eviction process, the 3-day pay or vacate, my original proposal was 5. We offered amendment to 7. What was passed is 14 days. So now you have 14 days a landlord has to give for a tenant to be able to remedy their rent situation, or if it's, it could be for other reasons they're being evicted, and then it goes into the eviction. So when you add all this together, the time element now makes it so hard for landlords dealing with bad tenants or those that haven't paid can take over, 50, 60 days to remove a tenant. On top of that, Dory, they added in what's called, very liberal judicial discretion, which even after the whole process is done, the eviction's over, then the courts can come back and say, well, we'll give you a chance to come back and redeem a remedy. And, now there's all these different categories and situations that they can go through in order to do that. So it's very biased towards the tenants, and the landlords are going to really be the ones that are going to have the mass, the hardship on this.
And I'm guessing that if a tenant is getting evicted, he's going to max out the amount of time he can stay there, and the landlord has absolutely zero chance of collecting the rent due him for that period of time.
Very much so. Now, there was another bill, Senate Bill 5600, which is basically the companion that was quote-unquote negotiated, that did put in some other provisions to help landlords recover some of those costs. However, the probability of recovering those costs is usually slim to none.
Nah, it's never going to
happen. Landlords don't set out to evict. Dory, what they've done is they've created this false narrative that says evictions equal homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Landlords are evicting people, putting them out on the streets. The piece that we're missing is we're not asking that second question of why are they being evicted. Some are for financial. We want to help those sure. that are truly are financially struggling.
Well, yeah, you
but we also need to take into consideration the bad tenants.
Yeah, you want to keep those apartments full as much as possible when it's
absolutely.
A good tenant.
That's
okay.
exactly what the
so,
whole premise is.
So every Republican voted against this bill, and three Democrats crossed the aisle and voted against this bill. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. We offered several amendments. None of the amendments were taken. We gave a very great debate, about an hour-long debate on the merits, common sense, and at the end of it, it passed with three other members joining us in no.
Okay. So both parties saw so many flaws in this, they voted no, at least some members of the Democratic side. Okay. So then we get into the hyperbole where every member of the House got a letter from the NAACP where they essentially called everyone who voted against this bill a white supremacist.
Yeah, that's the essence of the letter, yes.
In fact, I'll read from the letter. This vote demonstrates that it is not only white people who uphold white supremacy in our system. There is no question that eviction reform is a racial justice issue. Now, let me ask you, Representative, are there any black Republicans in the House?
No, there aren't.
Okay. And so are there any black people in Olympia being accused of white supremacy with this letter?
Well, you know, Dory, here's the deal. We don't make it a black or white issue in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. We focus on the issues. We have been, you know, as a country and as a state, we've worked and come so far to get out of that narrative of the race card or calling each other or whatever. My co-sponsors on the bills was my great colleague, Democrat, Christine Reeves, and she's an African-American woman. She voted no on this. Great Representative Eric Pettigrew, who's also African-American, voted no on this.
Pettigrew's also a Democrat?
He is. Okay. Has served for many years with distinction. I mean, he's a pillar here. And so is Representative Reeves. I mean, these are phenomenal legislators who represent their constituency, their communities, with honor and integrity. And it's shameful that they're being called out, as it is for us, who have demonstrated in the Republican caucus nowhere near what this letter is inferring.
Yeah, I don't want to gloss over that because it's a scurrilous charge, regardless of whether it's a white person or a black person who's being accused of that. But it's incredibly ironic that the two African Americans who voted against this bill are both Democrats, and they're being accused by the NAACP of being white supremacists. I mean, that's how bizarre things have gotten in these social justice games that we're playing right now.
It is. And, you know, we've seen this, and now we're seeing it here. And in my wildest thoughts, as I was putting this legislation together, never in my, you know, ever imagined that this would be the result or the call out. But I have to tell you, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that the group behind this is pushing this narrative because they want what they want. They feel they have the political capital to do this. They feel that the majority needs to lock up and we're going to pass this policy no matter what and don't stand in our way. And when we do, and we present a common sense, you know, logical argument to the debate, which is what we're supposed to do here, then all of a sudden, you know, we're racist. And that's the fallback. And I realized, Dory, that in certain segments in Puget Sound region, King County, and Seattle, there's bad actors out there, of course, in every business, and there's still these issues in neighborhoods and,
sure,
and
yeah.
certain things. But to lump it all in statewide, all landlords, all rentals, all, you know, is ludicrous to think that that's the case, and that's why this policy pushing so far to the left. This is what we've seen out of Seattle. This is what we've seen. I mean, Seattle's been doing policy like this for years. King County has been doing the same thing. Now it's here. We knew that. It was going to be here this year. It's showing up in full force,
right.
And this is the result.
Well, it is. It's coming from the left, this increased name-calling, And I guess that's inevitable because that's the party that's in power. And so you're not going to hear more stories about the left when it's a one-party state right now. But ironic at best and insane at worst that they're calling African-American Democrats white supremacists because they don't like their floor vote. It's just, it's gotten insane.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's so much more in this letter. You know, I mean, the financial gain. And I mean, they've you know, just really laying out these things and they're ludicrous accusations when at the core of the policy that I was working on with my colleague, Representative Reeves, was good common sense policy that would help the tenants in the state of Washington and the landlords in the state of Washington to get at the issue, the real issue that, you know, there are certain problems within the context of landlord tenant. Let's fix them. That's what we do down here. Let's fix them. We're, you know, we keep bringing forth all these great solutions only to run up against the extreme. And every time the extreme, you know, just look at the votes that we're taking right now. We've got a day and a half left of the floor votes on the before the big cutoff, and you know, the policy that's coming through. Just, you know, take a peek. It's it lines up along the lines that we're talking about.
Yep, it's very discouraging to sit and watch, and I can only hope that the pendulum has swung about as far as it can. Representative, it's always good talking with you. I appreciate you taking the time with me this afternoon.
Dory, I always appreciate your show and all the good words that you've got and for helping us share a little bit about what's going on here in Olympia. So thank you very much.
I do what I can. All right, Representative. Thank you very much, Representative Andrew Barkus. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.